Shalom, and welcome to Kehilat Rosh Pinah, a dynamic, multicultural, and growing Messianic Jewish congregation located in the heart of Oklahoma City and led by Rabbi Michael Weigart. Our goal is to bring you the message of the Word each week from a Jewish perspective and to exalt the Messiah Yeshua as Lord and Savior over all. We are a loving congregation made up of both Jew and Gentile, now one in the Messiah, with Shabbat morning services at 10:40 a.m., various studies throughout the week. Please come and join us next time you are in Oklahoma City. We would love to have you. And now, we hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. It's not the first time here, and I'm always privileged. I'm so blessed to be here again. Am I not too loud? Remember, I have a very loud voice, so I don't want to think the guests, you know, to scare the guests out. You are used to me, I mean, you Rosh Pinah members, you know, to my shoutings, but the guests will think, ah! Well, it's so great to be here, and I don't know your name, the one who worshipped here. She's not looking at me now, but Carol, nice. Nice to meet you. I was very, very impressed by your choice of songs. They really fit the theme, you know, that I just got yesterday. I'm still jet-lagged, you know, and English is not my mother tongue, so bear with me, okay? But the theme, you know, of repentance and to be challenged by God's words, like, where is it now, Roy? Like Roy said, it's all fits. Very, very well. I just landed from Israel the day before yesterday. Still cannot find when is morning, when is night, when is noon. So I can understand you when I receive you at the airport at Tel Aviv. Yeah. But let's start. Huh? Abba, thank you that you will open my lips to declare your glory today. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, Redeemer of Israel and all the world. Amen. We need you, Abba. Okay, how many of you will agree with me that there are some scriptures which are, to say the least, or to say it very gently, hard to understand? How many of you, as more you are in the Lord, as actually less, at least you think that you are less understanding Him? Okay, I will take the blame. Put it on me. I'm a Jew, you know, I'm used to. But honestly, as more I read the scriptures, I say, what? You know, when we are in our first love, even in the physical, you know, when I first fell in love with my wife today, with Gabi, Gabush, the sweetheart, she is the better part, okay? If you know her, you don't want to see me anymore. You don't want to fellowship with you. Gabi, it's okay. But you know, when I fell in love and you fell in love with your wives, you know, did you really care about their pimples or, they put on this or didn't put lipstick or whatever? I mean, you were in love, right? Did you know their faults or their, you know, not so enjoyable things in their lives, you know? Did you know the package deal that you get into? Did you know the sack that they bring with them, the bag that they bring? No! You are just in love, right? The same is with the Lord. When we fell in love with Him, wow! We sucked in the world and we didn't ask too many questions. Am I right? And as life begins, and as we enter into His theological seminary, life, you never graduate. I mean, yes, you do graduate from God's theological seminary, but it's not a PhD, paper PhD. It's actually life-change PhD, and you graduate when you meet Him. So welcome all of you to God's theological seminary called Life. And life, with its bumps and all these, you know, difficulties, the valleys of the shadow of death and all this, you know, they actually take their toll in our lives, and we start to ask questions sometimes. So we will deal with some ununderstandable, to say the least, scriptures today. And I pray that they will not only challenge us, but encourage us. Can a challenging word encourage us? Oh yes, it does. It all depends on the heart status, the heart position. Okay? Where is your heart today? Are you ready? Are you open for challenges? Are you open to admit that you don't know so much as you maybe thought a minute ago? Are you ready to admit that you are actually very empty and thus you need the Holy Spirit to come and fill you? Where are we today? Let's start with those very difficult scriptures. And we will delve into scriptures from there, from the New Testament back to the Old Testament. I just made a mistake, to call it Old Testament. As you know, in the first century, the church, or the first body of Messiah, all Jewish, purely Jewish, and they did not have New Testament books to begin with. So where did they actually preach from? What we call mistakenly the Old Testament. So let's go first to the New Testament set of books, to the book of Romans. And one of the difficult scripture, when Rabbi Shaul, as we like to call him here, addresses the issue of Israel. For 8 chapters in Romans, he teaches all about God's grace and, the fundamental things of the faith, And later on, he actually dedicates 3 chapters to the issue called Israel. Okay, what about Israel? So let's start Romans 9. Just a second. How do I do it with this one? Okay. Here. Romans 9:1. I tell the truth in Messiah. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Messiah, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the services of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ or Messiah came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God, verse 6, has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are Israel. What? Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. Again, what? But in Isaac your seed shall be called. And those of you who are familiar with the Torah portions that we are reading this Shabbat, actually this Shabbat we start to deal with the second forefather of our faith, actually. Yeah, we have Abraham, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Toldot, the genealogies, maybe in English, it is? Generations, okay. Some call it in Toldot, which is in Genesis, we will get back to here, back to there very soon, we start to deal with Isaac, the second forefather. So let's continue. So, it is in Isaac that your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, those are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, not nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Whoops. Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Brothers and sisters, precious people of God, this is a hard to understand scripture. Aren't we used, especially in church circles, God is love, which he is. He loves everybody, even the sinners. Really? What did he find in Esau that he actually hated? It's scriptures. I loved Isaac, but I hated, Jacob, but I hated Esau. And when you read the portion of the week, especially this Toldot, this Shabbat portion, you actually see that some unfair things happened to Mr. Esau, the firstborn of our second father, Isaac. Come on. Don't you agree with me that Esau actually was kind of a victim in this portion? He was cheated twice by his brother. Actually, once cheated, the other time, the first time, let's put it in the right order. The first time he was manipulated, okay, taking advantage of his very, very hard condition, and we will get to there. And the second time he was actually cheated. Real cheating. Poor Esau. Why does he deserve it? Poor us. Why do we deserve the things that we are passing through in this life or in this theological seminary called life? Why? How many of you think that life is fair? If you really would raise your hand, I would say that you did not see much of life yet. I don't care if you're a billionaire, multimillionaire, in dollars, in pounds, in shekels, or you are poor, who live under the bridge. Life is not fair, and life will have its challenges. Whether it's sickness, whether it's losing dear ones, whether it's losing your job. By the way, praise God that if this is all your problems, that you lost your job, hallelujah, praise God. Life is not fair. And please, when you bring people to know Yeshua, please do not lie to them and say that they will face, once they accepted, they received the Messiah as Lord Redeemer, no problems will await at the corner. You are lying to them. Actually, Messiah himself discouraged, yes, I know what I'm talking, even with my bad English and accent and all this, yeah? I know how to differentiate between discouragement and encouragement. Yeshua, as I know him, he discourages people from following him. And we have altar calls. Wow, by the thousands. Wow, thousands received the Lord in this or that stadium. Really? Yeshua said, look at the birds. They have nests. Look at this. Look. Everybody has, you know, a place to lay his head. You really sure you want to follow me? You might lose everything. Life is not fair. And it's before Christ and after Christ. And whenever it is fair, we should bless the Lord on our knees. And we are, hallelujah, thank you for another moment of grace. And if this is Not a difficult one. What about Hebrews? Go to the book of Hebrews with me, please. Hebrews 12. Speaking again about this quote-unquote poor person, Esau. But I want to show you that actually the writer, whoever he is, the writer of Hebrews, is encouraging us to hang on till the end. In the same context, life is not fair, life will have its bumps, yeah? But please continue. Do not give up. So, in Hebrews 12, we read, therefore, verse 1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great of a cloud of witnesses, of course, he speaks about the previous chapter, yeah? The faith chapter. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Did you notice how easily sin ensnares us, really? For you all holy people here, you don't know what I'm talking about. No temptations, no sin. Once you received the Lord, you became perfect. And you got, as a present, a halo and two wings. Not me. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you ready? Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Would you like to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, or even close by him? Would you like to be in heaven one day? You need to despise shame. What does it mean to despise shame? It's exactly the opposite of despising your birthright promises. What am I talking about? Let's jump to verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Can we fall short of the grace of God? If we couldn't, it would not be written. I don't care what they did in churches and all, once saved. You know what? I wish once saved, always saved. I believe that as long as you keep repenting, and if needed, 77 times a day, you are saved. The problem is that when you despise what God called you to, in rather than despising shame. We do not like to be ashamed, are we? We do not like people to put us to shame. Guess what? The good news is that you need to change your, you know, make a switch here and actually welcome shame. It's biblical. We should not despise shame. Because we are following, after all, in the footsteps of the one who was the first not to despise shame in order to get to his position. So, lest anyone fall short for the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Are you ready? Fornicator and profane person. I thought he will go now to talk about somebody that we know from the news, you know, from the CNN, Shmienen, you know, who fornicated. I thought he was going to speak about Tel Aviv, which I call now Sodom and Gomorrah of today, yeah? Where there are plenty of fornicators. But where in the word of God does it say that Esau was a fornicator. He is going to speak about Esau. Don't you believe me? Let me continue reading to you. Verse 16 of Hebrews 12. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. It is all in the portion of the week today. Toldot. And we are getting there. This is only the introduction, beloved. Now, with Rami, the introduction can be longer than the message itself, so don't worry. You're not going to sit here for the next 5 hours. So, it's about time to see what he's talking about. Esau the fornicator. Beloved, let's go back to the portion of the week. Everybody is still awake? Everybody is still following? Hallelujah. So, let's go to Genesis 25, verse 19, and try to draw some pearls out of it. Like Carol said, oh, there are many, many pearls here. Verse 19. Are you there? This is the genealogy, generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Then let me stop here and suggest to you, I know for some of you who do not know the way I teach, it will be almost blasphemy. Relax, it's not blasphemy. I'm going to suggest to you that there is nothing new under the sun. Not because I'm such a smarty, I hardly finished high school. Not to speak about theological seminar, I never have been there. My friends, because I read what the smartest man after Yeshua said, there is absolutely nothing under the sun. You want to know the future? Go to the beginning. You want to know the end? It's cyclical and not linear. You don't put events on a line and check them out. What happened is what is now and what will be as well. Are you with me? So, my friends, saying this, I want to tell you that I want to suggest to you, not to tell you, you will check it with your own spirit, that Isaac is a picture of Messiah. Come on. Do you remember the Akedah story, the binding up of Isaac to the altar on Mount Moriah? The picture of the sacrifice that he will make one day on the same mountain, by the way. Okay, Mount Moriah, Yeshua, the son of the Father, the living God. Yeah? So Isaac is a picture of the Son of God. Okay, and I hear amen, or at least go on, Rami. Okay? So if Isaac is a picture of Yeshua, then who is Rebecca a picture of? Us! Rebecca is a picture of us, beloved. And are you ready to dive into some beautiful, beautiful pictures here? How old was Isaac when he took Rebecca as his wife? 40. And I don't need to teach you about the number 40, which is so important in the Bible, number of trials, now, after which there is a new beginning. You know, Moses is on the mountain 40 days. The children of Israel are the 40 years in the desert, and they enter the promises. Yeah, the Holy Land. But friends, don't know if you are familiar with the Jewish thought, Jewish sages thought, that the history, human history, is divided into 3 or 4 segments, which correlates with the 6 days of creation plus Sabbath. Are you following? The Jews, not all of them, but there is a Jewish thought expressed in the Talmud, which says the very first days of creation correlate with the 2,000 first years of humanity. Are you following? And they call it a mess, disorder. Then they say there was the next 2 days of creation are correlating with the next 2,000 years in human history, which are where God gave his Torah and thus entered order, some order into the mess. And are you ready? At the end of those 4 days, who came according to this Jewish thought, not believing thought, Jewish rabbi thought, Messiah. They called the next 2,000 years, 2,000 years of Messiah, which will be followed by a millennial Sabbath. Are you with me? What is the age of Mr. Isaac? 40. Four. Four. And how many years later does he begot Isaac, Jacob and Esau? 20 years after. When Messiah came? 2,000 years ago. In the 4,000. Are you with me? We are entering very soon the Sabbath, yeah? But in those 2,000 years, I want you to see the beautiful picture. Rebecca, the wife of Yeshua, is barren. No children. How many of you feel barren? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. How many of you really from the bottom of your heart, like me, by the way, I'm transparent with you, feel barren and want, oh Abba, I want more of you, more of you. I want the fruits of the Spirit, please. I will raise my hand. I will be your volunteer. Okay? My friends, it takes 20 years, which I correlate with 2,000 years since Messiah came, to eventually bring forth the fruits. But are you ready? Yeshua told us that when he will come again, it will be like a fisherman who cast his nets. And when he brings up the nets, are they all believers there? All the fish are good Christians there? Oh, sorry, messianics? No, there are bad fish there. And he separates them. Are you with me? The same with the wheat and the tares, remember? My friends, only at the end, only when Yeshua comes back, will he separate between the Esau's and the Jacob's. Let's continue reading. I want to challenge you in this message to become more Jacob than Esau. So let's continue. Now, verse 21 of chapter 25 of Genesis. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? And how many of us believers ask the same question? Abba, you tell me in your word that all is well. All is well with my soul. But it's not. I'm depressed. I'm worried for my son who is in the army now. I'm worried this. I'm worried finances. Why? It's not well, Abba. If it's well, why am I like this? How many had deep doubts about their walk with the Lord? If you did not, you are not normal. Your spirituality is not normal and not healthy. How do I know? Because David is my favorite guy in the world. And he had doubts more than me, I think, sometimes. Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Familiar? It wasn't Yeshua on the cross. It was David before Yeshua. Yeshua quoted David in Psalm 22, right? Where are you? And then he comforts his own soul. Don't worry. No. It's okay. God is here. God is good. But where are you? It's a struggle, beloved. So she asks, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. It's in Hebrew, it's lidrosh. It's really to seek the Lord, to be on her face. Yeah. And the Lord said to her, listen carefully, two nations are in your womb. And I want to say, beloved, two characters are in your womb, church, congregation. Are you following? Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. Adam. Admoni in Hebrew. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Why? Because heel is Akev in Hebrew. Akev, say Akev. Akev, Yaakov. It was never Jacob, it's Yaakov. Okay? Yaakov, Akev, phonetically you can hear it, right? Okay? It's a word, it's a play on word. Isaac was 60 years old when he bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau before. Let's pause here. Beloved, did you notice that the children struggled within her? And my question is, why in the world did the twins struggle so much so that it bothered her? It wasn't like, you know, my daughter is now pregnant, okay, with my second grandson. And I just put my hand here and, you know, the baby jumps, you know. And, you know, even with twins, boom, 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 you know. But it's cute, it's beautiful, yeah. But over there, it was not so beautiful for Rebecca. Otherwise, she would not go to seek the Lord about it. There was fighting going in. It's mine. No, it's yours. It's mine. No, it's mine. You thought I'm joking. I was not. It's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. No, I will go first. No, oh no, he gave it before me. I will hold his heel and I will try to push him back. I'm not joking. Beloved, you know that the Bible is multi-level, the Word of God. It's not only lullaby story, okay? To tell our one-year-old son or daughter, my friend, so, you know, to put them to sleep. My friend, it has different levels, like with well last week portion, yeah? Isaac's servants are digging well. The Philistines are, you know, putting, you know, blocking them, whatever, yeah? The Word of God is like well. As deeper you get, as more truth there is, more living water. Are you with me? So let's dig in. Why were they struggling? They struggled over the firstborn rights. How many of you know that babies can hear what we talk? How many of you know that babies can hear music, can hear their parents fighting or whatever? They can feel. Let me suggest to you that somehow, mysteriously, how many of you know that the Bible is full of mysteries? Somehow, mysteriously, the boys know that they are one too many. Are you with me? Because here we have Abraham. He gave Isaac all the blessings. And I want to get the blessings. I want to go to heaven or whatever you call it, yeah? I want God's promises. And I know that God's promises go to the firstborn. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. The stronger wins. Uh-huh. The stronger and the many. The man, you know, manly, with hair, you know, I mean, he was macho, okay? He goes, breaks through first, Mr. Esau. And he is reddish. He is, for you, it doesn't mean much because you don't, I know that some of you do speak Hebrew, do know the Hebrew, but for those of you who read the Bible in Hebrew, it's beautiful. It's not just red. It's Adam, like first Adam. It's Adam, like red. It's Edom. Are you with me? It's Adama, soil, earth. It's what we are made of. It speaks of the old nature, the first Adamic nature. Are you with me? The one, the flesh, the one, the natural. You know, the one who, the macho. I will win. I will move everybody aside and I will go for it. And what he becomes? A hunter. Reminds you of somebody else who was a hunter before the Lord? Come on. Nimrod. Wow, hunter before the Lord. Very spiritual, right? No. He builds Babylon, the antithesis of the great city of the great king. Are you with me? We have Babylon, we have Jerusalem, the harlot of Babylon. Fornicating Babylon. Esau likes to be... Let's read it and then I will elaborate, okay? So you don't think that I'm making it up. And verse 25 again. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out and he took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when he born him. So the boys grew and Esau was a skillful hunter. A man of the field, please remember this description. A man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man. I like the New King James translation, but I don't know why they translate like this. In Hebrew, it's tam, we will talk about it. Dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he hated of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So, where is Isaac? Out in the fields. And let me suggest to you that he's outside in the world. Are you with me? He's a hunter. He's a macho. He likes the red color. Soon we will see. Blood. Are you with me? Adam, Dam, Adama, Edom, all the same word. Okay, my friends, it's connected. Flesh, okay? He likes to be outside. He is the macho. He will not sit in tents. And the Jewish rabbis long ago understood that tents is not just a piece of cloth, you know, that with the sticks, you know, that you put in the ground. They said always that, I mean, relating to the first time tent is mentioned with the blessings of Noah over his three sons. Remember? What was the blessing over Japheth? By the way, you are Japhethites, most of you. I mean it, yeah? You're the descendants of Japheth. And what does he say, Noah? Japheth will sit in the tents of Shem. Already there, the Jews understood that it doesn't mean that, oh, listen, a guest came to me last night. I don't have enough space in my tent. Can I join your tent, Mr. Shem? No! It's spiritual. It's a tent. It's like a tallit. Are you with me? It's a cover. Like heaven is a covering over us. Like the clouds. It is a tent of Torah study. Do you get it? Jacob is not a mild man. He is Tam Yoshev Oalim. Tam comes from Tamim. Perfect. Almost the same word which is mentioned concerning to describe Mr. Noah. He was Tamim Bedorotav. Tamim in his generations. Are you following? Still you're okay with me? My friends, he is a man who likes to sit at the presence or at the feet of God. Do you get it? So let's continue. Now Jacob, verse 29. Cooked a stew, and Esau came from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. Well, again, let me read it to you in Hebrew, okay? Or at least try to translate it. But first, I will read it in Hebrew. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, al iteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ki ayef anochi al ker karashmu edom. Esau, and this is literal translation by your servant, okay? Esau said to Yaakov, al iteni, feed me like you feed the beasts. Terrible. Yep. You see, the old translations are very politically correct to say. My friends, le'alot or al iteni is like when you go and, you know, and you throw straw to, you know, to your animals. Okay? Al iteni, I am nothing different than a beast. Does this sound familiar? All the New Agers, all the whatever, you know, the people who are against God. Oh, there is no difference between us and the animals, you know. I mean, come on. I mean, let's sleep around because we act like the animals. It's okay. I mean it. My friends, Esau spend too much in the fields of the world. And when you bad company corrupts good manners. Are you following, beloved? Don't fall asleep on me. If you spend too much time in the world, you will become the world, like the world. He spends too much time doing what? Pew, pew, pew. He becomes one of them, one of those beasts. Al iteni, feed me like those beasts from this red, red. Why he needs to repeat the word red, Adom, Adom, Mina, Adom, Adom. It shows you again, he is very carnal, he is very fleshly, he is very Adam, first Adam. He is very natural. He is connected to dam, to blood. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And I wonder if we should just read it like this and go on and say, oh, crooked Jacob. No. Jacob. Could it be that Jacob, spending time with the Lord, knew about God's ways much more than his brother, his macho brother? Could it be that Jacob knew that even though he's looked down at as a little, how do you call those, the learners, you know, those who are not, come on, give me the word. No. The ones in school, you know, the nerd. Yes, nerd. Exactly. Thank you. Help me, beloved. This is not my mother tongue. You know, oh, this nerd who always studying. You know, he did not despise shame. And could it be that while not despising the shame of being just intense all the time, weak and all, you know, weak person, could it be that God, who says that He always will fill you when you're empty, could it be that He knew God's character, that God will take the glory only by Himself? He will never share His glory with anybody. Are you with me? Could it be that that's why God gave him, yes, I dare saying it, the idea of, you're so weary, sell me your birthright. Don't give it to me, sell it to me. Are you with me? Abraham, I will not take your graves from you. I will pay full price. Are you with me? In Hebron, one of the first portions. Sell it to me. Are you ready? And Esau, verse 32, said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Do you see the tragedy in the words of this man who spent too much time out in the world, who forgot what is birthright all about? Are you following? This is tragedy. I'm going to die. Excuse me. Who told you that you are going to die? Could it be that the other voice came and whispered? Are you with me? Could it be that the devil was also involved in this little story here? God on one hand, Jacob, go. This is your time because he is too far away from me, Mr. Esau. Thus says the Lord. And the devil, you are going to die. You are going to die. Look at you. You are depressed. You are tired. You are going to die. Come on. Who needs it? Are you with me? It's deep. Yeah, I'm going to die. So who cares? And Esau said, then Jacob, verse 33, said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau a bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank. Are you ready? He ate and drank, arose. And instead of doing this, woe to me, idiot! What did I do? He arose, drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Do you see what I mean? It's not a momentary issue. It was building up. Are you with me? It was building up for at least 9 months. And my question to you, beloved, are you barren like Rebecca was? Do you want to get pregnant by God? Whom do you want to break through at that day? Esau or Jacob? Who will win the battle within your own self, beloved? Where do you spend your time? Or whom do you spend more time to feed, rather? Do you feed your flesh? Do you feed the Esau which lives within you? The firstborn, which means the one that you were up to the moment you met Yeshua. Are you with me? The old nature. Do you keep feeding the old nature? Do you go and spend time in the theaters, movie theaters? Actually, you don't need to go to movie theaters. You can look at it in this stupid small box today. Whom do you feed, my friends? Because the one you feed more, This is the one who will determine your destiny. And there are no reductions here. You fed Esau, Esau will grow on the bill of Jacob. Who has the birthright? It is only by election. Yes, you are weak. Yes, you have temptations. I told you it will be challenging and encouraging. Depends on your heart situation or position. My friends, are you hungry for God? You can repent today for feeding Esau too much, for being fleshly, for being reddish, for being macho, for looking after men's recognition, men's love, men's acceptance, for despising your birthright just because you do not want to despise shame. My friends, so there are two characters within us, to conclude. And it's really our choice whom we feed. Because it's in our hands. Yes, there is election. But I told you God's mysteries, which cannot be understood, okay, easily. One of which is election versus will. Are you with me? Oh, I chose Yeshua. Really? It's written also that you were predestinated from. Wait, so it's not free choice, free will? It's both. God is not interested in robots. God is interested in collaborators, in partners. Are you with me? He wants to partner with you. He wants you to partner with him. He wants us to be partners, a family. Are you with me? So I will ask, come and let's pray.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message from Rosh Pinah Messianic Jewish Congregation in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We would love to have you visit us. Our weekly services begin at 10:40 a.m. each Shabbat, and we are located at 2600 Northwest 55th Place, north of Northwest Expressway at the corner of Northland Avenue and Northwest 55th Place. We meet each Shabbat for wonderful praise and worship with dance, liturgy, teaching, food, fellowship, excellent children's programs, and Bible studies on Tuesday nights. For more information, please visit our website, www.roshpinah.org. That's roshpinah.org. You can also reach us by phone at 405-842-1967 or email us at info@roshpinah.org. Thank you for spending time in the Word with us today. Shabbat Shalom and blessings in Messiah Yeshua.